This is Steve Eggleston of No Runny Eggs with Jess Rip, the Republican nominee for the 7th State District. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm really glad to be here. I mean, we're down to the wire. It's extremely exciting. I couldn't be happier, and I'm sure looking forward to Tuesday.
Well, a lot of people never heard of you, so describe yourself.
Yeah, not a problem. I'm from Milwaukee from forever. I grew up in Franklin. My parents still live in the area in Hills Corners now. And I went to Marquette High and Marquette U. While at Marquette U, I founded my own apartment painting company, which was great, especially for a college gig, because scheduling kind of, I was able to work on my classes. That was a lot of fun, but, you know, like painting, and it's great to know that kind of a trade. It's definitely always handy, but wanted to kind of do more, so I went off to law school in Nebraska at Creighton. I came back, passed the bar, and work as a real estate attorney. I have a real estate sales license as well. Sort of specialized in commercial side, but, you know, not necessarily opposed to the other areas. Once my practice kind of started rolling and I knew exactly where I seemed to think things were going to go, I decided to run for office. So everything's kind of been on hold to one degree or another, and especially the last few months.
Well, let's get into why you actually decided to run for office, especially in the district that, honestly, Republicans have never really had a chance in before.
Yeah, that's a very common question. It's just, you know, I mean, that's where I live. I'm a Milwaukee kid. I live right downtown on the east side. So, especially in this cycle, to my benefit, everyone I know lives on the east side. So, I think I can fairly say that I'll do as well as any conservative has ever done. I mean, that's just my area. That's where all my friends live. That's where all my friends who I went to school with live. You know, my neighbors are there. I'm a consummate consumer of the news, and I just reached a point where I was like, this is absurd. There's absolutely no way that any of these people seem to have any comprehension of what they're doing. I'm so angered by the concept of legislating for, you know, the next cycle, or the next vote, or the next election period, or the next, you know, campaign contribution. People need to look more long-term. I'm only 28, and I'd like to, you know, be paying into a system that will be better, will one, be still existent, and two, be better than the one that we are under now. You know, and I just didn't see that. So I got mad, I threw my hat into the ring, and I mean, I will fully admit, I'm a very lucky kid. I'm a lucky candidate. I'm lucky to be in this district. I'm lucky to have, you know, kind of all the cards are falling in the right places. This is the year, and this is the time, and we're just going to see how it shakes out. But I'm really optimistic.
Well, speaking of luck, the incumbent Senator Jeff Flaley was ousted in the primary by Milwaukee County Supervisor Chris Larson. What are your thoughts on that?
It's interesting. I mean, it's rare, especially in these sort of conservative trending times, that you see an opposition candidate run to the left of a seated incumbent. I mean, kind of sort of a eating from within the own party sort of system, which is also rare. You don't see that a lot. But, you know, the lines were drawn in the sand on that race, and people, you know, picked their sides. Obviously, the fact that Wisconsin has a close primary was detrimental to the incumbent. And the east side came out and showed support, and that's to be expected, as a lot of those people would have been voting straight ticket in the primary anyway.
What are the main issues that you see in the coming up for Wisconsin?
Well, I mean, obviously we face a budget crisis like everyone else. My personal concerns start with the budget. I mean, that's where it's got to go. We shouldn't be deficit spending. We shouldn't be raiding dedicated funds. There shouldn't be non-fiscal items added into the budget. These policies should be open for debate. And then, you know, the standard line with everything, I mean, but for obvious reasons, jobs, taxes, economic growth.
Speaking of economic growth, typical Democrats see government as the prime engineer of growth. What do you see as the engineer for growth?
American ingenuity. I mean, small businesses, honestly, if you want to look at the numbers, virtually it's something like 90%. The numbers fluctuate between 87 and 93, depending on what you read. But of all job creation, is small business job creation. I mean, so the obvious solution is to create and foster an environment that caters to formation and the sustainability of small business. I mean, don't get me wrong, we should obviously be trying to maintain the major corporations we have here, the
we have to play to our strengths as well. I'd love to see something like the M7 on a statewide level run through the Department of Commerce. I'd love to see the Department of Commerce a lot more streamlined. And most importantly, we've got to make Milwaukee a business-friendly climate. I mean, Milwaukee is the engine of the state of Wisconsin. I mean, this is where, you know, the most productive areas of the state exist. If you look at Institute for Justice, a national firm, they released a working paper yesterday about Milwaukee specifically and how atrocious its business climate is, which is, I mean, telling in itself, because they have a lot of cities to choose from.
One of the things that Chris Larson ended up beating Jeff Plaley on was Plaley's support for the expansion of the Oak Creek Power Plant. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this issue is, I think, extremely crucial, especially in the 7th. Expansion of the Oak Creek Power Plant was a wonderful thing. I mean, the largest construction project in the state of Wisconsin, and now we have the benefit not only of a great employer and, you know, of a brand new facility in the 7th District, but we also have a plant that operates at 25% with 25% excess capacity. So we have, you know, more energy available than we're currently consuming, and especially in this day and age, we are definitely consumers of electricity. I mean, and coupled with that is the clear issues with the Clean Energy Jobs Act, the Global Warming Bill, however you want to hash it, depending on your party lines. I mean, that bill is atrocious for this industry. Setting standards to California levels is bad. It creates an island effect. We can't, and we're directly penalizing all ratepayers who draw energy from coal power plants like the brand new plant that we just opened in the district. And that a 25% by 2025 standard forces We Energies, for example, to build an even more capacity when they're already at excess capacity. And I mean, they're a public utility. Those increased costs are transferred directly to the consumer and directly to any job provider or job creator in the area. I mean, it's an absolute killer, especially in these times.
On taxes, before I started the interview, we briefly discussed combined reporting and what it does to companies that are based in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I actually used to work for a consulting firm in Madison when combined reporting was added into the budget originally. And, I mean, it was an atrocious idea then. The goal is to foster an environment where you can attract and maintain a corporate base and employer base, and, you know, and thus by default will have a populace that wants to stay here and live here. And it just seems like it's, you know, everyone's always... We used to run a policy, at least nationally and in Wisconsin, of tax and spend. And now we seem to run a policy of spend and tax. You know, everyone's always trying to fill this hole or that hole. It's absurd. The real economic purveyors here are our corporate base, our business base, our employee base. I've always been a proponent of the Austrian side of the coin. I mean, a lower tax rate encourages people to grow and expand and hire more, and it fosters an environment that's conducive to that sort of idea perpetuating itself.
Transportation links between Milwaukee and Racine are, well, in a word, pretty much lacking. Even the expansion of I-94 doesn't really affect that because Racine is several miles to the east of I-94. Chris Larson sees KRM as the solution. You see expansion of 794 down to Racine County as the solution.
Yeah, we definitely disagree on that. If you look at the numbers on rail, it's not sustainable. And regardless of the ridership, which we won't have, I don't think, we don't even have the funding for it. It seems like now is not the time to be adding more monetary draws into the system. Like, we can't even maintain the system we currently have. Look at the Hone Bridge. Look at the Zoo Interchange. Look at the roads in Milwaukee. I mean, these are not times to add another required item to the balance sheet.
Well, the State Transportation Projects Committee was recently asked by Governor Doyle to look into expanding Highway 38, which is Howell Avenue in Milwaukee County. between Oakwood Road and Southern Oak Creek and Highway K, just outside of Racine.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great idea, especially if we can work with Racine, which would be, I think, the major factor there, because the goal is to create some sort of, you know, economic lifeline. And so coordination with the Racine-Kenosha area is always relevant, especially with respect to your prior question relating to 94 expansion.
Well, are there any other issues that you see as important?
Well, those are definitely the major ones, and I will add, you know, I think term limits are a great idea. I'd love to see something go forward with that. I'm definitely a huge proponent of it. I'm very young, and I definitely do not see this as a lifetime career. Just, you know, try to get in and do something better, and, you know, onward and upward.
I was looking over the endorsements that you received, and a couple of endorsements actually surprised me. The mayors of South Milwaukee and Oak Creek. I honestly don't know the mayor of South Milwaukee that well, but the mayor of Oak Creek, Dick Mullender, is not exactly what we'd call a core conservative. Why did he choose to endorse you in this race?
You know, I mean, you know, they represent their cities, which are a major part of the district, and they actually called me on the phone, which I thought was quite interesting, before I even had a chance to look them up. You know, and we talked the issues. I thought it was interesting. You know, they want to see where I'm coming from, and they feel that my ideals are a much better fit for the district and for Wisconsin.
And the final question, the fundraising efforts, how have they been for you?
Absolute gangbusters. I mean, could not be better. Everything has just been wonderful. You know, I'm finding that it's really great to be in a position like this. I'm not stressed. We get to pick what we want. We get to target our message. I was really fortunate in that Paul Ryan was able to, you know, do a fundraiser for me in Milwaukee last week. It was absolutely wonderful. Although we planned it on in a very short amount of time, we had like 125 people show up. It was phenomenal. I mean, a ton of the downtown business community, which is exactly, you know, the kind of support that I want. I mean, I'm looking to foster business growth and build a Wisconsin and a Milwaukee that I can live in forever. I couldn't be happier. I mean, we really have room to work with, and I'm not worried about it at all. And I was really lucky to have the support of Paul Ryan and Mike Grebe as well, who hosted that event for me and really helped me get it off the ground.
Well, thank you very much, and good luck this weekend and on Tuesday.
Thank you.